you had to.
All right. Let's start it up. Simon Tuff Reish Mep Baruch Hashem. Okay, so I realized that we're going to run out of time. I didn't realize how much we have left and how few weeks there are. Nonetheless, we are going to definitely make a strong push. If you guys are interested, maybe we'll find some time, like, you know, the last week in Zman, to get in more. But also, we can just go through much more halacha lemaisa with less background, and we can just read through more what the Mishnah Berurah says and how we should paskin la halacha. But at least for today, you know, we'll do a little bit of a shorter chabur today, just for the sake of time. Today with Baruch Hashem Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we'll do Sif Aleph and Beis in Tuf Reish Mem, and in terms of Mitzvah and all the upcoming very fascinating topics, we'll have to see how exactly we'll do that. Okay, but for today, let's focus on Sif Aleph to begin. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Nashim Avadim Kanim Turim Minasukah. So women and Evik Nani and children are potter from the Sukkah. Okay, Tum Tum Adrogan Eschaivim Safek, and now people that don't have clear gender, either they have neither sign, like the tumtum, or androgynous, they have both, so they're chayev misafik, because we don't know if they're a man or a woman, and therefore, if they're a man, they're chayev, if they're a woman, they're pater, and therefore, they're chayev from safik. Somebody's half eved, half free person, like, for example, he was owned by two people, and one of them frees him, the other one doesn't, so in that scenario, he's chayev also, because part of him certainly is chayev as a ben chorin. Okay, simple enough. Let's turn to the actual Makorah. So where did this come from? So we have the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Chesamad Aleph in Sukkah, which tells us, at least the first few people that are mentioned in this list, and it says, Nashim Avadim Ktanim Pturim in a Sukkah. So women, slaves, and Ktanim are all Pater from a Sukkah. So now the Gemara says, how do we know this from? Tana Rabbanan, we learn in Braisa, Ezrach, Ze Ezrach, that means your average person's Chayev, Ha Ezrach, Hotzias Nashim. So the Hey comes to exclude women. And then Kol, the Rabbis, the Zikdanim. So then the Gemara is like, wait 1 second, hold on. Why do you need the Pasuk of Ha Ezrach to exclude women? We already know that women should be Pater anyhow, right? Regardless, she should be Pater. Because of the fact that there's a mitzvah sasatius man grama, and we know that women are Pater from the mitzvah sasatius man grama. So, what do I need a special pasuk to come and teach me that women are going to be pater from sukkah? Regardless, they wouldn't have been chayiv in sukkah because they already are pater from this general rule of mitzvah sasatius man grama that women are pater in. So how are we to understand this? So the Gemara's conclusion eventually is not so clear. The Gemara says, really? It's. I mean, I should also just address one more point, right? The Gemara is more thorough. I don't want to sort of not get into the whole Yom Kippur a bit, but the Gemara also says, which one is hey really mashma? Is hey mashma to include or to exclude? And also, is it a halacha Moshe Sinai that you are pater from these, that women are pater from the chiyuv to sit in the sukkah? Or is it actually from the pasuk? The Gemara makes it sound like either Yom Kippur or sukkah, one of these two, is going to be from the Pasuk, and one of these two is going to be from Halacha Moshe Sinai. So, without getting into all the details, just because I don't want to get into the Shakla Tara, all of it, right now, I'm just going to cut it down to this basic point. Women are seemingly putter from the general rule of the Mitzvah Shezes Ma'an Grama. And the Gemara's conclusion seems to be that they're putter from the Halacha Moshe Sinai. The question is, what is the real reason for their putter? We have the Gemara explaining why I need a halacha Moshe Sinai. Because even though I would have had the rule of mitzvah sasatius man grama, well, there's two different reasons given to the Gemara. Abaye and Rava says, I might have thought that they would be chayim despite that general rule. Abaye l'tameh, and Rava l'tameh. Abaye because the Gemara has this drasha of teishvu kainta duru, that maybe a woman is chayev to do there just because regular dira is ish v'ishno, a man and his wife. So also here, a man and his wife. So maybe a woman is chayev despite the rule of mitzvah sasheshes ma'an grama, women are being pater from. So no, kamash malon that she's chayev. Kamash malon that she's pater. Or else you would have thought, maybe like Rava says, from the tesvav, gzira shava, you would have thought that women are going to be chayev from that angle despite the general rule of mitzvah sasheshes ma'an grama. Again, kamash malon. No, she's pater from the Halacha Moshe Sinai. Okay, so to rephrase, we have this general rule. There's a reason why the general rule might not apply, either because of Teishu Kinti Duru or because of Tesvav Tesvav. And then we have Halacha Moshe Sinai, which says that she's pater nonetheless, despite the reason why you would have thought she's chayav. So I have to ask you guys a question. You tell me. What do you think the conclusion of the Gemara is? Is the Gemara saying that she's really putter from the general rule of mitzvah sashesh zman grama, and therefore she's putter from that side? And then I had a havmi to maybe include her for a different reason, and the halacha of Moshe Sinai says, no, that's not true. Don't think that other reason is significant. Or else, do these reasons come and defeat the rule of mitzvah sashesh zman grama? And then we have to have a special halacha Moshe Sinai, which gives her a dispensation that she's not chayav in the sukkah. But it's not because of the general rule of mitzvah sashesh zman grama. Rather, it's because of this halacha Moshe Sinai. So?
It's an alchemy.
Yes. I'm going to get there in a second. But let me just spell out, once again, what's the chakira? Is the Gemara's conclusion really that she's putter from the general rule of mitzvah sashesh zman grama? Or is it, no, from some special, unique, local reason, a special halacha Moshe Sinai, even though women generally should be chayiv here, if it was just for mitzvah sashesh zman grama, that wouldn't have been enough, because there's reason to say she should be chayiv, despite that. And then a special halacha Moshe Sinai comes and makes her patur. So those are two different options of how to understand the Gemara. We'll get to nafkamina in a moment to help illustrate the difference between these two. But I just want to point out that there's actually maybe a third way to read the Gemara. Now, not necessarily this Gemara, but you'd be surprised if you opened up the Rambam and Peirush HaMishnayos over here. How does the Rambam explain our Mishnah? What's the reason why women are Pater? Because of the Pasuk of HaEzrach. What? Isn't that against our Gemara? Doesn't the Gemara say the conclusion is because it's Halacha Moshe Sinai? I thought there were no two ways about it. Now, it was a question of what's the function. What we were just asking is, what's the function of the Halacha Moshe Sinai? Is it that the Halacha Moshe Sinai is coming to just restore order, and now we stick with our regular rule of mitzvah sashesh zman grama and women being patur from them? Or no, is it a unique, special din that even though that rule doesn't apply here, nonetheless they're patur anyhow? But that's what we thought. The Gemara was one of those too. The Rambam says it's from HaEzra. And you know, there's many other places also where we find this. There's different Rishonim mentioned in a different context, and many of the Acharonim in Psak Halacha just mention it. So now, on one level, you could just be Lav Dafka. You could say, yeah, and the Hanami, they were just saying it. Look, the same way the Gemara said it as an Asmachta, so the Rishonim and the Acharonim who bring the Pasuk of Ezra said it as an Asmachta. We know that's not the real Limud. It's a little Shvach, as any time when you Lav Dafka something is. But it could be. I'm not dispelling that as a possibility. It could just be that, again, the Gemara sort of set it as precedent. It gave us a remez of the, and especially the deeper you take Asmachtos, so it gave us a remez with this Pasuk, so that's how they're going to just be knocking it too. Who cares about the exact precise reason? When they're trying to just tell you the halacha, they just tell you the halacha. However, there's definitely another approach. The same sugya comes up, or I mean, it's not the whole same sugya, this is the Iker sugya of mitzvah sase, shezman grama. A lot of tongue twisting. They're not really tongue twisters for words I'm trying to say fast, like mitzvah sase, shezman grama, and halacha l'moshe mitzinai in this shir. But, okay, we'll do the best I can not to stumble. So, the Gemara in Kedushin on Daflam and Dalam Aleph in the Iker sugya of mitzvah sase, shezman grama, you tell me what's weird about this Gemara, okay? The Gemara says, "V'harei sukkah to mitzvah sase, shezman grama, diksir besukos teishvu, shivas yamim, time de kasav rachmana ha'ezrach, l'hotzi es anashim. Halav hachi nashim chayavos." Meaning the Gemara says, oh, women, what about, if it's really a general rule that they're pot from mitzvah sashesh zman grama, why did I need to exclude them from the hay of ha'ezrach? Right? Why did I need to do that? If it wasn't for that, you're telling me they would have been chayiv? What about the rule of mitzvah sashesh zman grama? Right? The Gemara asked, isn't there the rule of mitzvah sashesh zman grama, which you just told me? If so, why did I need ha'ezrach to come and exclude it? So then, Amar Abaya, he says his reason. Amar Virava Amar, his reason. What's weird about this Gemara?
Doesn't say it's Allah.
Doesn't mention a word about Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Gemara Kedushin doesn't mention a word, doesn't breathe a word of the Halacha Moshe Sinai. It sounds like HaEzrach is the real source. Right? It says, oh, how come you needed HaEzrach to exclude it? And then it goes into Abaye and Rava again. And here, read Tosos over here. Tosos over here on Lama Dalin Wabbeis says... Right, listen to Tosos' words. Lamalia Ezra, Flosias and Nashim, the Gabi Sukha Pshita to Turos, to how mitzvah sashesh zman grama he. Elish Mamina to Nashim Chayavos Bimatza, Lach Itstricha Ezra, Gabi Sukha, the Hotzias and Nashim. Dulo Leilif Tezvav Tezvav Mechaga Matzos. Imkane, Lamali time at the Kolish. Hey, so that's addressing a separate point about Matzah, and there's other Tosuses that are like this also, which sound like the Limud, This Tosos certainly sounds like the Limud is actually from Ha'ezra. And other Tosuses which ask this question, the same question about a unique question by Matzah, well, I'll leave it up for now, right, that are dealing with a question by Matzah, also indicate that Tosos thinks the real drush, it's like a drush that we exclude a woman from Ha'ezra, which is pretty weird. It's against our Gemara, right, Yosef, what would you say?
You're not going to like this, but I feel it's just, the Gemara didn't want to go into the whole thing with Yom Kippur and back and forth. Like, just a positive Josh, but it's not sudden before we've seen Tosas that talk about this. Like,
great. So you would say the same thing, basically the same lav dafka we were trying to say in the Rishonim initially, that they just quoted it, but like, you know, it's a little bit more complicated. So the Gemara was doing that also over here. Didn't want to get into the whole sugya, so we just assumed all Ezraf excludes women. Now, we know if you actually work at the Rishonim, really, that's just an asmaplan, really, from hey, definitely legitimate. Definitely legitimate. Although Tosas here sounds like he's saying that, oh, and therefore we needed Ezraf to exclude it. Right, that's why I was saying Tosos is actually Mashma, like it really is from Ha'ezra. I mean, and that's Pashup Shad in the Gemara. I think you could definitely say it's a Machlokas HaSugyas. You could definitely say that there's a Machlokas. Sometimes the Gemara has it in one context that has a discussion, and this Gemara doesn't think it's Halacha when she's not. That Gemara thinks it's Halacha when she's not. The weakness in saying that, though, is that at least in our Gemara, right, if you read how our Gemara has it, Amar Bai Le'olam Sukka Hilchasa. And then he says his reason, but it's true. I mean, it's the same man, it's the same Abaya was explaining it. So it's a little bit weak to say it's like a machlokas asugyas. You could say it's a machlokas asugyas as to what Abai had actually said, right? But then already you're getting like very, very tough. So I don't know. I just wanted to note that there's this other possibility. Maybe it's actually from Ezra, and there might be basis from that in the Gemara Kedushin. There might be basis for that in the Rishonim. Like I said, the Rambam Perush Rashi says Ezra, and there's other Rishonim that allude to it as well. Right? The Moshe of Zakenim on Chumash just says it also Pasha, like it's like totally fine to do that. It's definitely quite feasible that could be one way of reading it, but let's stick to the major two approaches, right? In terms of reading our Gemara Kapashte, our Gemara concludes that there's a Halacha Moshe Sinai, unlike maybe that Gemara Kedushin or some Rishonim who think that, no, it's not a Halacha Moshe Sinai as much as it's actually from Ezra. Okay, so if that's true, we still have two ways to read it. And just in terms of the Nafkwina, I'm going to group the whole Ha'ezrach approach, if you want to take it seriously, you don't have to take the Ha'ezrach approach seriously, but if you want to take the Ha'ezrach approach seriously, I'm going to group it conceptually with the latter of these two options, just because it will be similar in terms of nafkamina. Is it the general rule of mitzvah cessation man grema, which is why women are pater? Or no, is it some unique local reason, such as option one, which would be from Halacha Moshe Sinai, or option two, from a unique exclusion from Ezra? But you understand what I mean why I'm grouping those two together? Like, one of them is a general Kol HaTorah Kula principle, which applies to women. One of them is a local reason, which excludes women from Sukkah. Does that make sense? Right? You see why I'm putting those two together? Even if you want to say it's from Ha'ezrach instead of from the Halacha Moshe Sinai, those are both at least similar in that sense. They're both like a local reason, which excludes women from Sukkah. Yeah, we're on the same page?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So now, what might be some nafkamina? Okay, so first of all, why are Avadim Pater? Let's move on before we go. This will help lead into nafkamina, right? But we said in our mission of Avadim Pater, why are Avadim Pater? What does the Gemara say? No?
Didn't they always have what Nashon had?
Oh, good. So, let's clarify that. Very good. But it might require clarification. Okay? So, the Gemara doesn't say why Avadim Arpater. It's totally open for, conjecture. Think of whatever you think. What's the reason? So, classically, Ali's telling us, we know that Avadim are Hokash to Nashon, right? That we say that they have the same dinim in terms of which mitzvos asay they're chayven. Okay? So, how does that rule work? Is it just to ones that they're pater from mitzvah cessation zman grema? Generally, that's what we think of it as. Oh, women are pater from mitzvah cessation zman grema? Avadim are pater from mitzvah cessation zman grema. So if that's true, so then, according to the first way we want to read the Gemara, that really it's the general principle of mitzvah cessation zman grema, we understand perfectly well why Avadim are pater. Because it's really that general rule which applies, and Avadim are hookish to a woman in that sense, so of course Avadim are also going to be pater. To the second way of reading it, that, oh no, it's a Halacha Moshe Sinai which actually teaches the Ptor, well, that's a unique Halacha Moshe Sinai saying that women are pater. Do I know that that extends to Avadim?
Can you just say that Avadim are always hookish to a woman?
Ah, so that's going to depend. So now I'm just noting, to one side it's very easy. To this side, now it's going to depend on a Hakira. Is it that Avadim are generally hookish to women, or is it that in terms of, as the Gemara uses it, in terms of that one specific aspect of Mitzvah Sashay Sama Grama, that they're pater? So it depends. So you'll say, if you're right, if you just say, you know, generally Avadim are hookish to women, then they're going to be pater also over here, because women are pater, so the Mela Avadim fall in line. But if you think, for example, there's a lot of Rishonim who discuss different, and Achronim even more so, that discuss why is it such that women are pater from Mitzvah Seishas Angrama. There's a beautiful Bechor Shor on the Torah, where one of the Rishonim, one of the Bali Tosfos, who explains in depth all about why it is that they're pater. And essentially, it's because their time isn't as freely their own. There are people that are busier with other things, and that's their role. And accordingly, they can't be expected to stay in line with the demands of time-dependent mitzvahs, which seems very posh. That's one good explanation. Accordingly, like, avadim are like women in that sense. Not to say women are avadim, or avadim are women, but to just say that both of them have time restrictions different than man. Man is generally freer, let's say, from children. He's not as much involved in the child raising. At which point, he's able to follow in line. Okay, now I need to go daven mincha. Now I need to go do this mitzvah. I mean, mincha might not be a good example, right? Because if the time is only derabbanan. But you understand what I mean. Daven demand a mitzvah. So if that's true, so you can understand why avadim and women are similar in that sense, that they don't necessarily have that freedom of time where a man does. So Hashem never was machayev of them. At which point, the hekesh would only be between those two. At which point, to this side, we'd have trouble understanding why is it that avadim are pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. If you take it differently, though, and you say that, no, they're just generally hookish to women, then you're right, Yosef, then you're butter. However, you should know that Mishnah Lamelech has a rule. Mishnah Lamelech says, he explains that, no, they're only hookish in terms of mitzvah sheshes mangrama. But, in terms of ones that are unique to women, he specifically says one of these two sides. He says ones that are, you know, a mitzvah, a special exclusion or inclusion by women, those don't apply to avadim, because they're not generally hookish to one another. So according to the Mishnah Lamelech, we'd be in trouble. So I think if you go with the first approach, and you want to keep this general rule of the Mishnah Lamelech, we have one reason why we'd want to read the Gemara one way. That really is just a defense of the general rule of Mitzvah Seishes Mangrama, and thus, naturally, falling in line with that is that Avadim are going to be Pater. Instead of having to figure out and work very hard as to why Avadim would be Pater, the Gemara assumes that it's a different posture, doesn't even bother to analyze it. That's probably because women are pater, and therefore it's probably saying that the Gemara's conclusion is not that there's a special halakha of Sinai, or the special ezra, which comes to exclude women locally here, as much as it's a restoration of the original rule of mitzvah cessation on grandma. What would be another nafkmina? What might be another nafkmina? Let's think about whether or not she's allowed to do this mitzvah. Or you could phrase this in different ways. Is there value to her doing this mitzvah? Is there an ability for her to make a bracha? Or you could phrase it in different ways. But essentially, if a woman is merely given a heter, like, look, you don't have to deal with these time-bound mitzvos. They're not your responsibility. So you can certainly say, though, okay, but she can do it. Torah's inam tuvosa. That if she wants to do it, she can do it. She's not chayiv to do it, but she's refusing to take advantage of a heter. On the flip side, if there's a special halacha Moshe Sinai saying women are pater, you know, this is a man mitzvah, not a woman mitzvah, then maybe there's no value to her doing it.
Isn't that what Zman Rama is, that this is a man mitzvah, not a woman mitzvah?
Hypothetically, it could be saying more of, this is a suggestion. It doesn't have to be. This isn't mukhrach, but I think it makes sense that it could be that Mitzvah Sashay Zman Rama, as it really sounds like, especially with the explanation we've given, mm-hmm. It sounds like just a heter. Meaning to say, well, you don't have to do this because it would be too restrictive of your general role. There's no problem if you do it. So, you can, but just you don't have to, and there's no pressure to. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. Right? That type of thing. As opposed to it saying, like, no, this is his job, this is her job, this is separate. This is a, you're not told not to come into the sukkah. I'm not saying it's usher for her to come into the sukkah. But it's told that there's really, this whole mitzvah, the whole essence of this mitzvah doesn't relate to you. It relates to him, not to you. So then there's more reason to think that it's truly something that she's pater from. At which point then, maybe you'd have reason to think that she shouldn't make a bracha. Or you'd think that there's no value. Like, oh, the woman sitting on, there's a little bit of puzzle stock. Should you all squeeze and have the woman go under the kosher stock? Or have the woman just, who cares? Let her sit under the puzzle stock. What's the big deal anyhow? It's not like it's like, I know that she could get an extra mitzvah, but you know what? Maybe there's no extra mitzvah if she sits there. Maybe there's really no value to it. And at which point, just let her sit under the puzzle stuff. So it could be. This one's not mukhrach. In terms of the bracha in general, let's talk a little bit halacha maisa. There's famously a massive machlokas amongst the Rishonim and then the Achronim as well, following generally along the lines of Ashkenazim versus Sfaradim, right? Which say, Rabbeinu Tam is famous for holding that a woman's allowed to make a bracha on a sukkah, and the Rambam, the flip side, is famous for saying that no, there doesn't make the bracha. So generally, that's a basic split of, so would a woman, halach lamaisa, make a bracha now if she sits on the sukkah? According to the side of Mitzvah Sashit Van Grandma, it's even easier. But still, this general machlokas of, are women allowed to volunteer for mitzvot that they're not chayav on? And if she does them, does she make a bracha? So, it's actually a very complicated discussion. I don't want to go so much into it right now. But, simply put, the way we posit is that women can make a bracha on the sukkah. They don't have to. They don't have to. But they can, as Ashkenazim, we say that they're allowed to. However, important to know is that men should not make a bracha for a woman if we ourselves are not doing it. We need to say, to be yotzei her for whatever reason, but you yourself aren't about to make the bracha, you don't need to make the bracha. Let's say you made your lay shave already, and you're sitting in the sukkah just fine. And the woman wants to come in now, and she wants to eat a suda. Now, can you make the bracha for her at that point, when you don't yourself need one? The answer is no. You definitely should not. The Magen Avraham, the Shmur, are explicit about that. You should do
it. Kiddush as well?
No, so for Kiddush, you're doing it for yourself.
No, I say I'm not.
So were you going to make a lay shave or not?
No, not Kiddush, like, and so just Kiddush in general. I say I wasn't planning the Kiddush. And...
Oh, well, Kiddush is different because they might be chayv in Kiddush. I mean, it's a different discussion. Over here is a mitzvah that they're not chayv in, right? So sukkah, they're not chayv in. They're for sure not chayv, according to everybody. The question is, can they, or to the degree of which they can? So she's definitely not chayv to sit in the sukkah. That's explicit, that's what we've already read. So therefore, you should not go ahead and make the bracha for her if you yourself don't need to. There are a few more details I want to highlight about women before we move on. And so we've seen that women are pater and that men are pater. Men avadim are pater. Okay, you know what? That's like really a side point. It's like, okay, so now maybe she shouldn't be making the bracha, and it's just merely that we're not like, even according to Ashkenazim, maybe it's that we don't tell them not to, but it's not like she should be making a bracha. So are you allowed to answer a main, or are you not allowed to answer a main? The mice say you're allowed to answer a main. Don't worry about it. Okay, what about the tumtum and androgynous, right? So now where did they come from? Well, we'll get to katan in a second when we turn to sephase momentarily. So what about a tumtum and androgynous? So that's not in the Gemara. The Rambam, I think, said it first. But it seems pretty pasha, right? These are people who we just don't know if they're men or women, so therefore they have to go and sit in there and suffix. So now question, halach lamaisa, does a tumtum and androgynous? I mean, hopefully it's not halach lamaisa. Too often, it's an unfortunate situation if somebody's in this situation, but in case it is halach l'maisa, so what's the halacha? Do they make a bracha or do they not make a bracha? They're chayav misafik. But the Mishnah Berurah says, no, they're still not going to make a bracha because the bracha is only d'rabbanan. I mean, even though they're safik d'oraisa chayav, they don't make a bracha because the bracha component of it is only d'rabbanan. So while they sit in the sukkah, acting as if they have a chayav, they don't make a bracha because maybe they don't actually have a
chiyuv.
I'm sorry? Ellie, so you're preempting the conclusion. But exactly. We'll get there in 1 second. So right now, just misfara, how does it work? They're chayuv, misafik, in sitting in the sukkah. They're chayuv in safik to make a bracha. But the way it works, safik daraisa, safik brachos, or da. So that's what we're going to answer in a second. So they're putter, fundamentally. However, nowadays, once our women are themselves making a bracha anyhow, and women are for sure legamri pater, and they make brachas too, so then they can also make a bracha in a chanami. They're able to make a bracha too. So the maisa, tumtum or androgynous, is able to go and make a bracha. Is it what they're supposed to be doing or not? Again, that goes back into the woman question. Like, should they or should they, like, is it just okay? We're not going to stop them from doing it. So maybe here they have more reason to, or no, you'd say they're the same, and still it's suffic bracha for hakel. But the maisa, they can make a bracha the same way that a woman can make a bracha. Pretty pasha. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, I don't have anything to add on. That's obvious, he's chayav. I mean, again, I don't think it was in the Gemara anywhere, but it's just pasha that he's chayav because he's half of Ben Chorin. He has absolutely a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah and eat in the sukkah and make the bracha in the sukkah. Let's turn to Sefes for the brief amount of time we have left. Katan Shein Utsarach Le'imo, Shehu Kiven Chamesh, Kiven Shesh, Chayav the Sukkah, Midrei Sofrim, Kedei Lechan Chul Benetzvus. So a child that doesn't need his mother at this point any longer, so then he's, which the Mishnah Berurah the Shulchan Aruch says is 5 or 6. So then he's chayav in the sukkah on a derabbanan level, right? For in terms of chinuch. Now, who does chinuch fall on? That's a big machlokas, right? Whether it's just on the father or whether it's on the mother as well or on the basement as well. Lamaisa, generally, type of thing that you should be doing anyhow. I think we're generally machmir to be mechanech them if you can. What's important is this five or six. How come there's like this discrepancy? Each one of them, depending on how sharp they are, meaning to say how precocious they are. If they're the type of kid that's able to do this, he's mature enough, he's able to listen and understand and get the point, so then at an earlier age you can bring him in. And, oh, let's say he's super precocious, so the post can deal with that too. Even at the age of four, hypothetically, he's very, very precocious. He understands and he doesn't need his mother already at that young age. Right? What does he need your mother? So the Gemara gives us two different examples. Are they arguing? Are they not arguing? Positives, they're not arguing. They're just two examples of different numbers. Although we could go into the Sugya and Eirvin, which talks about these numbers, as well as the Rishonim here that talk about these specific two opinions. But I think that for a halakha l'maisa, I didn't want to get into that all, just because for the most part, it really seems like the type of thing where you have to just know your child. In the same age that it's five or six, so maybe at age of six, maybe if he's really not all that astute, okay, fine. So you should bring him in anyhow, because like maybe he's more astute than you realize, or either way it will have an impact on him, and like this is just what we start to do. Maybe it's actually a din. But to my understanding, the type of thing where if he doesn't need his mother because he can sleep without her the whole night, and he's able to take care of his bodily needs all on his own, he's totally fine. So then in that situation, you should bring him into the sukkah. If he's not able to handle that, then you shouldn't bring him into the sukkah. The age seems more like a good estimation than anything else. Yeah.
So 6-year-old should be sleeping. Let's just say 7-year-old should be sleeping in the sukkah then.
Good. So that's a fantastic question. So lemaisa then, when we turn to actually halacha. So you got a 6-year-old. He's able to sleep through the night without calling for mommy, 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 incessantly. And he's able to wipe himself. So, he's not like, he's the slowest kid in the world because he doesn't want to sleep in the sukkah. No, he doesn't want to sleep so much in the sukkah. So how machmir do you have to be on this? That's a very important question. I mean, like, actual halakha. So should this kid come into the sukkah or should he not? So I saw a little bit that in the postgame they say that if the kid is going to be really cold for him, and that's why he doesn't want to, he's not interested, he's not going to be able to sleep well, so you can definitely be more makel in terms of mitzvah for this child. But the perspective should be that, yes, a father, assuming that it's not a big deal and the kid gets excited, or Ben Arsh was telling me about how his family, it's like, a big deal even for his daughters, like, they all want to sleep in the sukkah. It's like exciting because all the boys are doing it. The little girl's not going to want to not sleep in the sukkah. Everybody wants to sleep in the sukkah. So then, I think that what we see is that the perspective should turn to be that we should all be trying to be mechanic our children at this right age, once they're able to sleep in the sukkah, to sleep in the sukkah. Why not? It's a mefarsh din in Shulchan Aruch. If he's able to, then he should. Now there's added room for leniency in terms of the hagdara of what's going to count as a mitzvah, maybe. And like also even other scenarios. I saw an interesting thing in the Jirshu. They bring this, if the father wants to be in the sukkah at night, but it's past the kid's bedtime, but if he makes the kid sleep in the sukkah, like to be mechanachim, then like the father won't be able to be in the sukkah properly, because like the father wants to learn there, the father wants to eat there, the father wants to like live in the sukkah. But if the kid goes to sleep at 7:30, the father still has a lot of hours till he's going to sleep, he needs to do stuff, and he wants to be in the sukkah. So you're supposed to be mechanach your kid by making your kid sleep in the sukkah in that case? The Jewish says, then they bring from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that the father doesn't have to hold back, and he can like put the kid can go to sleep inside. Meaning, like, again, it's for chinuch, but there's much more flexibility here. You're supposed to do what's right, but like it doesn't mean you should be mevatel the father's chiyuv of sitting in the sukkah in order to accomplish that. Or again, in terms of mitzvah, if it's cold and it's uncomfortable for the child that he doesn't want to sleep in the sukkah. Now, not so uncomfortable, the father's just going to put on some blankets and go outside to be mechanach the mitzvah. But for the kid, he's not interested, and you're going to have a bad chinuchi aspect here. That is, he's not going to appreciate the mitzvah, he's not going to be excited by it, and then it's maybe a bad idea. Now, if you want, I went more into perhaps a unique chiyuv of chinuch. This was my own chiddush, whether or not it's true, that it exists perhaps by sukkah in one of the chaburas I gave at night here. So not in this whole particular series of the halakha l'maisa, but just stam and iyan chabur. Interestingly, maybe there's some deeper level of chinuch that applies even at a young age on some level for a child off of shamai, off of other sources in the rishonim, that maybe there's reason to say that like there's a special value to doing chinuch specifically in the mitzvah of sukkahs, the man yidu dor seichem, that part of it's like sipur yitzias Mitzrayim perhaps, that there's something that's very, very experiential and important for the child to have even at a young age so they can experience sukkah. But all of that was just a chiddush working off of something which might be true, but even if it's true, only as like a chumrah, and teaching which perspective. perspective you should have towards the mitzvah of sukkah and chanuch. Halacha l'maaseh, if your kid is at an appropriate age where he's able to sleep in the sukkah and eat in the sukkah and be in the sukkah, he should be along with the whole family. Why not? It increases your teshuah gain to Duru, as well as him fulfilling the mitzvah and learning to do the mitzvah. If he's not able to, or you have any difficulty with it, then there's certainly more room for flexibility.